We're talking with Equity actor Andy Lucien. He is one of the guest artists this summer at the Chautauqua Institution, and he's on stage right now in Detroit 67. Detroit 67 is a play by Dominic Morisseau, which premiered in 2013. And it takes place over 6 days in July in Detroit during what is usually referred to as the Detroit Riots. We meet Shell and her brother Lank. They've inherited some money, not a lot, but they're interested in starting a little after-hours operation where folks can drink after bars close in Detroit. They're somewhat aided and abetted by their friend, a real party girl named Bunny, and Lank's good friend Sly, played by Andy Lucien. And we're so thrilled to take your call, Andy. I'd like to ask, just for starters, where's home base for you? Where are you most of the rest of the year?
Home base is New York City, New York. I was born and raised in New York.
Things you do would be on Broadway, or do you travel out to a lot of regional theaters?
I have done a lot of regional theater work, and I've also done some off-Broadway, not Broadway yet, but okay. I've done off-Broadway. I've done a lot of regional theater, and I've just now recently started getting into TV as well.
TV? What are you doing on TV?
Most recently, I was on a few episodes of The Blacklist, a couple episodes of Madam Secretary, and last year I was on an episode of Elementary. And, I was on the season finale of it was a two-part season finale of The Blacklist, and I was on that as well.
Well, you've named three of our favorite shows. So. Well, if they're in reruns, we'll have to look for you and go, oh, we know
Absolutely,
him. We know
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Since we're talking TV and theater, from an actor's point of view, what are the differences?
Well, it's like the same basic premise of, you know, trying to affect the other person and trying to go moment to moment. But I'd say the main one is a good friend of mine said, you just kind of bring the audience closer. So on camera, there's a camera right there. There's a microphone. There's a lot of things. And therefore, it's a different skill set. You're trying to get the same result, but you're just using a different skill set to get it done, as opposed to a theater where a lot of times it could be a 200 seat, it could be a 400 seat, 600 seat, and so on. So your audience is further away from you. So I'd say that that's really the difference, whereas, you know, you train so that, you know, you can fill up a 600-seat house or 400-seat house or whatever in a way that for TV and film, the microphone is there to assist you, which brings the audience so much closer to you.
Now, none of the TV shows you mentioned are anything close to comedies. I could see where a comedian might say, oh, I got to have a live audience. You know, if I don't hear them laugh, I just can't do it. But you play pretty dramatic roles. Is there anything that happens in an audience? Do you get a sense of, wow, I'm really connecting with them that you might not get from looking at a TV camera?
Well, I mean, theater is so immediate. You know, you get to affect that audience immediately. And a lot of times I'll tell people the play, you know, you work on it in the rehearsal room. You have the director, stage management, all of the wonderful designers, all these people who put together an amazing set, the other actors, all those things. It isn't really complete until the audience is there, because it's like they're the last part of the entire thing. So you get that feedback to see if something's landing, to see if something's funny, to see if something wasn't as funny as you thought it was going to be, or maybe something that you had no idea was funny is suddenly funny. That happened a good amount in Detroit 67, where, you know, we had been putting up this play and we'd all been working on it. And there were things we thought were funny. And in addition to that, the audience was laughing at things that we were just like, oh, because in a sense, the audience teaches you so much about the production that you're working on. So, yeah, you get something from the audience immediately.
You know, now that you mention it, down at Detroit 67, yeah, you know, it was complete for me. You know, that line, you know, I laughed, I cried, it became a part of me. Well, you know, I laughed, I cried, and certainly did affect me. I got to ask, I don't want to give too much away for folks who haven't seen it yet, but, you know, as Sly, you're you know, you're kind of a smooth-talking, good-looking guy, you know, with a lot of lines and big dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And at the talk back afterwards, you seem like a just sort of a normal, nice guy. So was it a stretch to sort of put on this Mr. Smooth act?
I think what it is you know, when you begin training with acting, you think of character as something like you put on, like it's like layers of clothing. And what you actually find out is that it's actually removing layers. So it's like one acting professor that I had, his name is Jim Wise. He said, introduce yourself to the you don't know. So it's just you're behaving truthfully in an imaginary circumstance with the text that you're given from the playwright. So it's like you might tap into yourself and you're just like, wow, there is a part of you that you don't think of it so much as being smooth talking or whatever. But the way it's received is like, oh, well, this guy's kind of slick. I don't know if I can trust him, but he's really, really smooth here. And it's one of those things where it's like, oh, it's interesting how that comes off. But also you're given like these templates from the playwright as to how your character is described. So, yes. In words, Dominique Mariso, our playwright, describes Sly as smooth-talking, but she also describes him as fiercely loyal. And so it gives you that template so you understand. It's like, oh, this is these, you know, there are interesting points where, without giving too much away, we find out whether or not he's just smooth-talking or whether he's being really, really honest in those moments.
True, at least from my experience, when we first meet your character, Sly, I'm holding him at arm's length thinking, this this guy is trouble. He's a heartbreaker. He's gonna mess this up somehow. And then, of course, you know, later on, you got us in the palm of your hand. We just, you know, we're just rooting for you so much.
Thank you.
So, you know, nice transition.
Well, thank you.
You and Story Ayers, who plays the kind of, you know, sexy party girl bunny,
mm-hmm.
You're both what they call guest artists.
Yeah.
You're members of Actors Equity. You know, you have considerable
mm-hmm.
experience. And then the other actors, they're part of the conservatory. So
right.
What is your role as a guest artist when you're not on stage? Are you teaching? Are you coaching? What are you doing?
They don't have us teaching. Here in previous experiences, they do sometimes have us come in and speak to the apprentices, as they call them here. They'll have us, you know, impart our wisdom or something like that. Not here as much, and it might be because our rehearsal period was so truncated, so short. What has happened is I see that more often than not, we end up leading by example. Steve Brodnax, our director, who has known Story and I for years, will ask us without asking us to, you know, set the table for how rehearsal should work from a professional standpoint. So we bring in our experiences, we bring in what's expected of us. And what was great in this is just to see people who just kind of like rose to that challenge in a sense where it didn't even seem challenging. It's just what they did. So, I mean, it's interesting to be in a situation like you said, because it's like, you know, you don't expect them to be students, but on the MFA level, yeah, they are moving towards their masters in acting. So with both of us having had those already, it was cool to kind of like impart that. So it's not in a sense where it was like we're teaching or we're directly mentoring, but it's really a situation where it's just like, oh, okay, they do this. So they set the example, they set the standard of what rehearsal should be, if that makes sense.
We're talking with New York City actor Andy Lucien, who is a guest artist this summer at the Chautauqua Institution, playing the role of Sly in the play Detroit 67. Elsewhere, Andy will be talking about the play and his personal experiences.